Good morning, everyone. Happy Easter. Christ is risen.
Amen.
Let's stand and sing about it. Turn to hymn number 34. We'll begin with He is Lord. In our call to prayer outside, we are reminded on this special day of the resurrection of our Savior. Father, He conquered sin and death. The final enemy to be defeated is death, and we praise You that He conquered it. We thank You that He opened the way to heaven freely as a gift because of all that He did there at Calvary's cross and in His resurrection. And Father, we thank You that they couldn't seal Him in. The soldiers couldn't stop Him. No one could stop Him. When He rose from the dead, He was victorious. And we praise You for our great King. Father, we pray that throughout this hour, as we sing, as we worship, as we pray, as we hear special music, as we hear the word preached, in all that is done, may Jesus' name be glorified and lifted high. May the hope that is found in Him be proclaimed clearly and strongly. May those of us who know You, who know the Savior, rejoice in Him and be drawn closer to Him and to each other today. And if there's anyone here today who has not yet opened their heart to Christ, we pray that You would speak to them and show them that through faith alone in Christ alone, they too can be saved and on their way to heaven. We give You thanks for all these things and pray them in Jesus' name. Amen.
John chapter 20. John chapter 20. This morning I'm going to read a passage that has to do with the resurrection. Can you believe it? There you go. John chapter 20. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid Him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they both ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own house. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white, sitting the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid Him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I'll take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that He had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father in heaven, we praise you and thank you for all that we have in Christ Jesus. Oh, how wonderful it is to believe that he has redeemed us from our sins, and we are here this morning to worship once again the risen Christ, the one who came forth from the grave and the one who lives forevermore. And we rejoice in all that we have through him and his precious blood that was shed for us on the cross of Calvary. And Lord, we just pray this morning that each one of us might be thrilled and excited and ready to go and tell others about our Savior, our Redeemer. Lord, we do want to pray especially for those who cannot be with us here this morning. We pray for Jane Wagner as she had this accident. We pray that she might recover completely and there would not be complications, that this bone would heal like it should, and that she will soon be feeling much better. Pray too for my grandson Ethan, that you'll be with him as he has the surgery tomorrow. We know you said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And we pray that that might be the case today. If there's anyone listening to my voice today, may they put their faith and trust in Christ Jesus, and that they might be born again by the Spirit of God. May your will be done, O Lord. Lead, guide, and help us. We thank you for our church. We thank you for each one who comes here. And we ask your blessings upon us today that we might truly do your will and reach out and help others in their time of need and seek to be a witness for our Lord Jesus in this world in which we live today. May your will be done, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's look at John chapter 20 again. In his book, If I Should Die Before I Live, Joe Lomuzio writes, "If I were to ask you to describe Easter without using any words, and you could only use punctuation marks, which punctuation mark would you choose to describe this Easter for yourself? Maybe this Easter is a comma for you. It makes you stop, pause, think, and listen. But that's about it. Perhaps today is a downer, a big, bold period. You thought you'd feel excited, but instead it seems to be more like empty ritual. You feel like you're not on the inside, but on the outside, an onlooker. It was a day when life felt like a period for Jesus' disciples. Remember? He was dead. He was buried and into expectations. But wait. News of an empty tomb. The period is no longer a period. It's a question mark. That's worse than a period. Now they're beginning to doubt. Where is he? They're perplexed. The guards are gone. The stone is rolled away. He is not there. And if not there, where? An angel speaks. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and how he must be crucified, and the third day he must rise again. Of course, they remembered then. The periods are gone. The question marks are removed. There is one massive exclamation point. That's what Easter is all about. An exclamation of gratitude and of praise for the resurrection of Jesus and for the salvation his victory over death has brought to us. I thought that was good, thinking about Easter. How do you view Easter? Does it mean anything to you? Or is it just another day? Beautiful day, right? Sun's shining and everything is so nice. But what does it mean? It's the day when we remember Jesus came forth from the grave victoriously, and we rejoice in that. So looking here in our text chapter, we find the first day of the week, Sunday, right? It's always the first day of the week, and the day when we start off with a new week. But here we find Mary Magdalene, the lady out of whom Jesus had cast seven demons, one who loved him sincerely with all of her heart. He had set her free. He had liberated her. Mary Magdalene is spoken of often in the last part of the life of Jesus. She was always there. And here she comes early in the morning. She could probably didn't sleep well that night, thinking about she was going to get up and go to Jesus, to see the tomb. But she didn't know what had transpired meanwhile. It was yet dark. See, she got up really early. And she went to the sepulchre, to the tomb, this cave with a stone rolled in front of it. And she was running. She said she ran. I got to get my English straightened out here. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter. Okay, she saw that Jesus was not there. And the stone was rolled away. You know, she was concerned first when she went there that she wouldn't know how to get into the tomb because it's only her and a few other ladies with her. and they couldn't possibly move this gigantic stone. And so we find that the stone was taken away. See, that obstacle was gone. But where was Jesus? Where is his body? Well, we find here Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, you remember? These two secret disciples that were afraid to acknowledge Jesus during his lifetime had finally come out in the open and had buried him in Joseph's new tomb. It tells us this in the previous chapter, verse 38, just up above. Let me just read this to you. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, who at the first came to Jesus by night, and they brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden close by. And in the garden, a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day. A special holiday was coming up, for the sepulchre was near at hand. So, these two men, now they've gotten enough courage, and they believe that Jesus is indeed the Savior, and they are willing to take a stand with him. And so they go and they prepare his body and put it into the tomb. But you know, the ladies come along later. They figured, you know, hey, these men, they didn't really know what they were doing, right? Preparing the body for death, for the burial. And so the ladies are coming early in the morning to prepare the body the way it should be, you know, to correct whatever might not have been finished, you know. But anyway, we find here that Jesus was buried. They prepared him. They put 100 pounds of spices around him. Was Jesus dead? Yes. Yes, he was. He was completely dead. There are those that speculate that he wasn't really dead and he came back to life. But, I mean, no. He was dead. And yet, now we find this mystery. Mary finds this the tomb there, the cave. The stone is rolled away. And these are she and it doesn't mention the other ladies here, but there were several others that went along with her. And when she found out that he wasn't there, she went and told Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved. Who did Peter usually accompany? You remember? It talks about Peter and John, right? So I think the one who's writing this gospel is the other person. The one whom he doesn't mention his name for some reason. Maybe he felt he was too unworthy. So he calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. I like that expression, don't you? You know, to think about that, Jesus loves me. This I know, right? We know that because the Word of God tells us that. And we are special in His sight, just like John was and just like Peter was. Only Peter, he was so rambunctious, he didn't stop to think, you know. Anyhow, we find these two disciples, they go running to the tomb. And notice what it says, Peter and the other disciple. And he says the other disciple outrun Peter. So John had a little bit of, you know, braggadocio there. He outrun Peter, and he went and stopped outside the tomb Peter comes along, and of course, as soon as he gets there, he goes rushing right in. He doesn't stop. Peter never stopped in his life. He always was going forward. And so they go in and they see, it's just like Mary said. Here it is. And notice, the clothes are there just as if there were a body lying there. Only there's no body. Jesus came out through these linen clothes. It's amazing to think about. And they see it all lying there and they wonder, well, what in the world is happening here? And yet it says that John saw it and he, in verse 8, he saw and believed. You see? He finally understood that Jesus had risen. And he believed. And for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Why didn't they know? You know, they must have been sleeping or not listening or something. Jesus told them on a number of occasions what he was going to do. Go to Jerusalem, be crucified, and on the third day rise again. He told them that. And yet they said they didn't. They didn't understand it. I guess they thought he was talking in some kind of symbolism, probably, or something of that nature, and they didn't really understand that he literally meant he was going to come back to life again, because that doesn't usually happen. This was something very unusual, wasn't it, for him to come forth from the grave. So, we find here that they saw and believed. They believed that Jesus had come forth from the grave and that he was alive. So then they go back and tell the others. And Mary stays there. Mary, in verse 11, stood without at the sepulchre weeping. Her heart's broken. She still thinks that Jesus is still dead, and that someone has desecrated his body. They've taken it away. Who knows what happened to him? You know? And so she's weeping. Her heart is sad. And all of a sudden, there's these two angels, it says here. Another gospel says two men, but it's angels in white, sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had laid. You know, I was reading about that. And it says this is like in the tabernacle or in the temple, the Ark of the Covenant. They had an angel on each end of the Ark, you know, the place where the and spoke of salvation. And here we find, here they are, on there like as if Jesus was there and that he is the Savior. Right. Just a picture for us to think about. So they were sitting there and they said to him, "Woman, why are you weeping? What's the matter? Why are you so sad? Is there something to be sad about?" And she said, "They've taken away my Lord and I don't know where they've put him." She was thinking the worst. You know, are we that way? When something doesn't seem quite right, we automatically think the worst, right? And that's the way it was with her. She couldn't even imagine. What do you mean, back to life again? Oh, I know he brought Lazarus back, yes, but himself? God raised him from the dead. And here we find she is weeping. She doesn't know that. And then Jesus appears behind her. And he says, "Woman, why are you weeping? What's the matter? Why are you so sad?" And she said, "They've taken away my Lord." Oh, she says, "If you, the gardener, have done something with him, let me know. I'll take him and care for his body." And then Jesus, what did he do? He said, Mary, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Jesus spoke forth her name, and she recognized who it was. She says, Rabboni, my master. Is it really you? It doesn't have the punctuation here, but I would imagine that would be a question mark. What do you think? Rabboni, is it really you? Yes. Yes, it is. And Jesus said to her, don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to the Father. Now, these are things, you know, you have to think about what he's talking about here. But somehow, Jesus was going to present himself to the Father before he did anything else. And here, he says, don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to the Father. And Mary came and told the disciples she had seen the Lord. Did they believe her? You know, it says in another gospel, Luke, I believe it is, where the two on the road to Emmaus were talking about this. They said, you know, yeah, some women said, you know, they'd seen him, but, you know, you can't believe everything you hear, right? More or less. And but then they understood, too, before it was over, when they were taking of the meal together, and perhaps they saw the nail prints in his hands, and they realized who he was, and he disappeared out of their sight. Can you imagine? It's hard to even think about all of these things that we have here. And so we find Mary understands. She finally gets what he's talking about. And so Jesus appears, first of all, to her. And then he appears to the disciples. Down in verse 19, it says, it's the same day at evening, Sunday evening, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. You know, I wonder about that. These disciples, they were afraid the Jews were going to do to them what they had done to Jesus. That's what they were thinking. You know, so they went to a room, locked the door, and hoped that nobody would come. Right? And yet someone did come. And he didn't even need the door. You see that? He just appeared in the room. Amazing. Talking about the new body that we'll have when it's all over. And here Jesus was able to come into the room without opening the door. And he showed to them his hands, his side, all the evidence that it was really him. It says, then were the disciples glad. That sadness was taken away, and they were glad. They were joyful because he gave them peace in the place of fear. No longer did they have to worry about anyone bothering them. Jesus is there. He gave them the Holy Spirit. You know, it says here, he says in verse 21, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, so send I you. So send I you. That's our commission, isn't it, as believers? Jesus has sent us into this world to proclaim his resurrection. And that was basically what the disciples did. If you read into the book of Acts, they preached the resurrection. That was the culmination of it all, wasn't it? Lots of people died, you know, but he's the one who came back to life. And so we have here, he's sending them out. And he says, you preach the message, and whoever sins you remit, they will be remitted. And whoever sins you retain, they are retained. And that, of course, is if they believe the message and put their faith and trust in Christ as Savior. That's how we are saved, isn't it? By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and believing Him. So here He talks to the disciples and sets everything straight with them. But one of them wasn't there. One of them wasn't there. Thomas. Where was Thomas? Who knows? He could have been most anywhere. Perhaps he was too upset to be with the other people. I don't know. But anyway, we find he wasn't there that night. But a week later, Jesus comes again on a Sunday evening. And he says to Thomas, well, he says, first of all, peace be unto you. Shalom. And then he says to Thomas, verse 27, reach hither thy finger. Behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Thomas had said, I won't believe. Oh, this is ridiculous. What do you think? I have to see for myself. Jesus says, okay, here I am. He'll show you. And so Thomas answered and said, my Lord and my God. He realized who Jesus was finally, and he put his faith and trust in him completely. Jesus said to him, notice this. This is for us, folks. He says, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. We are blessed. We are blessed. We do believe. We trust in Him. We put our faith in Him. And we know that He is going to continue to keep us in His care and someday take us to be with Himself. And John closes out. He says, there were many other things Jesus did, signs and miracles. But these, what He wrote, in the Gospel of John, he says, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. That's what it's all about, isn't it? And that's the most important thing that we could ever gain from reading the Scriptures or from hearing them proclaimed. Believe. That's what it takes. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will save us from our sins, and we will have eternal life. That's wonderful, isn't it? The resurrection of Christ is so important and significant to us because without it, we do not have eternal life. If Jesus is dead, we have no hope. There's no hope for us. If in this life only, Paul says, you have hope in Christ, you're of all men most to be pitied. We are, but now, he says, in Christ is Christ risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruits of them that slept. Because he lives, we shall live also. He's absolutely unique among all the religious leaders, in that he came back to life after death and offers eternal life to all who believe in him. He is able to save. We just need to put our faith and trust in him. I hope that we will be encouraged to go forth and serve him and reach out to others and be witnesses for his name's sake. Father, we thank you this morning for your precious word to our hearts and pray that you will speak to us and teach us and help us, encourage us, and meet our needs in every way. We pray for those who are ailing today, those that we've mentioned already and others no doubt as well. We just pray that you'll undertake for them. And we do pray that each one of us would be good witnesses for you in all that we say and do. May Christ Jesus, our Lord, be glorified and exalted today. We pray. in his name. Amen.